Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Glad to hear it's Monday again, and it's our first program in May. Can you believe that?
How about that?
Beautiful day down here in the hills of West Virginia. I went out and fixed some fence today and enjoyed being outside a little bit.
April showers bring May flowers, so I'm looking forward to that.
It's like no complaints, no weather. Maybe we're through the frost, and it's time to get out and put the gardens out, really get busy on them, and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Well, we're still supposed to get a little bit of cool weather next week, but today was beautiful, so
gorgeous, no complaints. Yes, yes.
And if there was ever a day to take advantage of some low gold prices, today is the day. Gold got hammered this morning, down almost 2% at $1,863. Silver was down 18 pennies at $22.67. Platinum was down 3 at 945. Palladium was down just slightly over 5% at 2,290. The USDX today was stronger, almost heading up to that 104 level. But today we're at 103.62. Crude oil was up a buck at 105.75. Paper markets today, unbelievable. They had a rebound after the S&P hit its lowest level of 2022 this year. So, but they all rebounded. They were down a couple hundred points. The Dow is up 84 points at 33,061. S&P up 23 at 41.55. NASDAQ was up 201 points at 12,536. I'm not quite sure what the news was that had it turn around. And I'm looking. It's been a very hectic day. I didn't have much of an opportunity to follow the markets today and a lot of the news. There was one important item that I did see that I'd like to share, if I can bring it up here. But it was about Japan and their lack of purchasing of U.S. treasuries. So let me see if I can find that. But U.S. construction spending rises less than expected in March. So a little pressure on that. The U.S. construction spending barely rose as these moderate increase in outlays on private projects was partially offset by a further decline in public spending. The Commerce Department said today that construction spending edged up 0.1%. Everyone was expecting 0.7. And so beginning to see maybe some cracks there. The government reported last week, if everybody remembers, that the economy contracted a 1.4% annualized rate in the first quarter amid record imports. Investment in residential construction grew last quarter. And so that was it there. Trying to see where I saw that, but it was about Japan and its bonds. Let me see if I can pull. Butch, you can say something while I'm looking at any time.
All right, I'm just listening
anytime.
To you.
Anytime.
I'm still kind of puzzled about how the gold and silver prices are dropping, but the premiums are not going down at all. That just doesn't fit together. Something just isn't right on that. But while you're looking that up, I'm going to report some good news.
The prices can drop. The prices can drop, but you're still going to have demand.
That's true. But
and if people are taking, not if, because people are taking advantage of the lower prices. So, So that is, and again, if everybody stops buying and the prices continue to fall, yeah, premiums will drop.
Well, see, but the prices on gold and silver are down, but the premiums aren't down. So really, they're not saving a lot of money because they're buying the same. Yeah. So you would think they would lower the premiums a little bit, they could sell more of it. I don't know. That's just my little peeping and brain back at work here again.
Yeah, but that's not the way it works, though.
Apparently not. Apparently
no.
not.
No.
But I'll report on this while you look up what you're looking for here. Supreme Court ruled, folks, this is good news. 9-0. How about that? In favor of Christian Flagg case. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that the city of Boston violated the Constitution by censoring a private flag in a public forum open to all applicants merely because the application referred to as a Christian flag. They flew the rainbow flag, that's a pervert flag, and all kinds of other things, but they will not allow the Christian flag to fly. This case was taken, this happened some couple years ago, maybe. The case was taken up in the courts, that they lost in lower courts and took it to the Supreme Court, which ruled 9-0 they could not censor the Christian flag. And it's a great victory that shouldn't have had it been taken up in the first place. But anyway, the High Court stated that it is not government speech. And because the government admitted it censored the flag because it was referred to as a Christian flag on the application, the censorship was viewpoint was discrimination, and there's no establishment clause defense. So that was a big victory for the First Amendment. And actually, for the, I hate to use the word right to fly the flag. That's something that shouldn't even be considered a right. It should be considered something everybody does. Nonetheless, it was a victory on the side of the free speech and for the Christian church. So I just want to bring it to your attention while Melody's looking that up. Melody, you go ahead now. If you found
it. I'm still looking, but unfortunately though, Butch, and I don't mean to. They didn't allow it to fly because of it being Christian. They just allowed it to fly because all the other ones do, too. But it is. We'll take it.
Yeah. They couldn't censor that one out. That's, yeah.
Yeah. It would have been nice to, you know, have them just do the right thing. More of a, I would have liked to have seen it more of a, maybe a freedom of religion or something. I don't know. But it is a good thing. It is a good thing.
And, another group that fought that said that they did a good job doing that. You be going to report some more stories? We're looking for that. I got lots more to talk about.
U.S. manufacturing gauge unexpectedly falls to the lowest since 2020. The Institute for Supply Management gauge of factory activity fell to 55.4 last month from 57.1. This is according to data that was released today. We know that readings above 50 always indicate an expansion. The figure was definitely weaker than what everyone had expected. Everyone had a projection of a 57.6. And so, and this does make a difference. This does show where we're headed. 17 manufacturing industries, some of them did report growth in April, led by apparel, machinery, and plastics. Let's see if there's anything else interesting in there. Average lead time for production materials lengthened in April to a record 100 days. Lead times for capital equipment grew to 173 days, matching the highest in data back to 1987. While for supplies used in maintenance, repairs, and operations, they rose to 49 days. So it's taking longer and longer for people to get their items. And there's some people out there that I was talking to this weekend that it's 6-8 a year for items that they've ordered and they don't have yet. So you can go ahead and take the next one while
I
keep looking.
I'm ready. Look up,
you are fired up today.
I'm ready. We keep hearing about the food shortages. And of course, now this is actually making some more news headlines, too, with all the plants all over the world, folks. I found out, not just here. Food plants, processing plants, and warehouses are blowing up and burning. All of a sudden, this is they said there's no conspiracy going on here. It's just I guess par for the course. All of a sudden, warehouses that work with food are being blown up or burned to the ground. But nonetheless, we are on the precipice of a global food crisis. Goya Food CEO warns. Now, folks, this is coming from, even from the UN saying it. It's coming from all every direction. The effects of pandemic lockdowns, related supply chain strains, and conflict in Ukraine are wreaking havoc on the world's agricultural system. Readers have heard the likes of the UN warning that Middle Eastern countries are at a breaking point as food prices hit record highs. And last week, the Rockefeller Foundation began the countdown about 6 months to a massive immediate food crisis. Now, folks, this let me read it again. This and last week, the Rockefeller Foundation began countdown about 6 months to a massive immediate food crisis. That just about takes into fall, wouldn't it? Now, Goya Food CEO Bob Unihu has issued a similar warning. We are on the precipice of a global food crisis. In Wednesday interview, Unihu told Fox Business Maria Bartiromo, Americans will have to tighten their belts and consume less in response to a question about a potential food shortage crisis. Bartiromo then asked a series of questions such as, do you think things will get worse? And do you think food prices will go even higher later this year? He warned about the imbalance in the world food production, indicating farmers are paying double for fertilizer. They're planting less and yields will be less. Unihu then spoke about the 30% increase of the global wheat production. Ukraine goes unplanted. He said the global food supply chain is very tight, is a very tight balance. If we interrupt the food production, we will have a food crisis that will send prices through the roof. We only say as a rich country, we can afford higher food price food, but other countries won't be able to bear it. Now, I just got to comment on that. Maybe we're a rich country, but that doesn't mean everybody in the country are rich. There's a difference. And the higher food prices will bother anyone, I would say upper middle class to the lower class as far as incomes go. It'll affect me for sure. So, no, just because we're a rich country doesn't mean that we can absorb it. I mean, people cannot absorb it, especially those on a fixed income. They can't absorb it, and this is not going to be something we're just going to sneeze at and say, well, we're rich, we can handle it. No, that is not the issue at all. If everyone in the country were wealthy people, maybe we could, but we're not. So that was kind of a stupid statement, I think, coming from him. Nonetheless, Billy, you ready to go, or you may go on?
Go on.
Go on, okay. And this is no real surprise. Said most Americans blame U.S. president for higher gas prices. Yeah. I mean, he cut off the oil supplies the first days in office. Yeah, I think so. A majority of Americans still don't believe the Biden administration's ham-fisted attempts to shove the Putin's price hike narrative down their throats. According to a new Rasmussen poll, when asked whether Biden or Russian President Vladimir Putin is to blame for the higher fuel prices, 76% of Republicans think Biden bears most responsibility for the higher fuel prices, as do 24% of Democrats and 54% of voters not affiliated with either party. What's more, 84% of likely U.S. voters believe that the rising price of gasoline, home heating oil, and other petroleum products is a serious problem. 61% say it's a very serious problem. And when did the vast majority of the inflation occur? Pre-Ukraine. Folks, inflation started way before Russia went to Ukraine. So this is you're beating a dead horse on that issue about, oh, Ukraine. No, not Russia, not Ukraine. Biden. Rasmussen's findings echo those from several weeks ago, as NBC's Tom Costello reported on the Today Show that people aren't buying the Putin price hike narrative. President Biden is trying to label this Putin price hike. Well, most Americans, according to the NBC polls, are not buying that. Only 6% blame Putin. Most believe that President Biden's policies are very much to blame. And that is common sense. We were pretty much independent oil-wise until Biden got in office. So I think that makes perfectly good sense that he's to blame for it with his policy to shutting down the pipelines and production in this country. Folks, he led us right down this road. And the sad part is we knew he was going to do it. And this is only the beginning. Only the beginning. Go ahead, Mildy.
I found it.
All right, she found it.
Yeah, this is out of Bloomberg. It's the biggest treasury buyer outside the U.S. quietly is selling billions. And in times of treasury turmoil, the biggest investor outside American soil has historically lent the helping hand, not this time around. Japanese institutional managers, known for the legendary U.S. debt buying sprees in recent decades, are now fueling the great bond sell-off, just as the Federal Reserve pares its $9 trillion balance sheet. Estimates from the BMO capital market space of the most recent data show the largest overseas holder of treasuries has offloaded almost $60 billion over the past 3 months. While that might seem like small change relative to what they're holding, which is about $1.3 trillion, the divestment threatens to grow. And that's because the monetary path between the U.S. and the Asian nation is diverging ever more. We see the yen is at 20-year lows, and market volatility stateside is breaking out. All that is ramping up currency hedging costs and completely offsetting the appeal of higher nominal U.S. yields, especially among large life insurers. So Japanese accounts are contributing to the historic treasury rout and may not return en masse until later on. So it's kind of interesting. It's just another piece of the puzzle. Some information. Look how hard it was for me to find it, because you're not going to see it anywhere else. And they don't want to talk about it. And Japan has always been the biggest buyer of our treasuries. The U.S. needs buyers of our debt. And just recently, I saw Japan is shaking hands. I can't remember if it was South Korea or even China. So they're no longer the Americans. They're no longer waiting for American instructions on what to do. And so anyway, I thought that was interesting, Butch.
It is interesting. And, you know, you talk about buying debt, and we hear that word. We sometimes just gloss over it. But that's the only thing that's kept us afloat for all these years, is them doing that. I mean, if it hadn't been for that, our economy would have crashed years ago. We depended on foreign nations not only to produce things for us and manufacture things for us, but to keep us afloat financially. And that's coming from the country that one time used to feed the world, Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
I hear music playing.
We do. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I lost my voice, Butch.
Oh, wow.
I want to talk.
Here, something never happened to Marsh
here
ever.
Here we go.
Anyway, go ahead. Do what now? Are you still there?
Yeah, I am, but go ahead.
Okay, well, did you lose your voice again? I shouldn't pick you on that, but all the years being married to Marsha, she never lost her voice. But anyway, I'll start this story here until she gets her voice back. Amish farmer faces $250,000 in fine, jail time, and losing his sustainable farm for processing his own meat. Now, folks, there definitely is a attack on our food, even down to the point of an individual Amish farmer who had a meat processing business that was all dumb. Well, I'll just read to you, man. I better explain to you. Amos Miller's private food club. Now, pay attention. Private food club members say they don't want their grass-fed meat treated with the chemical preservatives required by the USDA-approved processing plants. Amos Miller says he is being persecuted by the federal government for practicing his religious freedom to raise and prepare food the way he believes God intended food to be raised and prepared in accordance with nature. Miller practiced rotational grazing on his small, holistically managed century-old farm in Bird and Ham, Pennsylvania. His heritage-bred cows are raised on organic pastures, with the chickens following behind, eating the bugs from their droppings, and weight-feed pigs trampling all the fertilizer back into the ground after that. About 4,000 customers of his private, members-only food buying club are dependent on his meat, eggs, and dairy products, as well as fermented fruits and veggies, and are willing to spend top dollar to get it shipped to them all over the country, as they don't trust food from the grocery store. But a couple of weeks ago, a federal judge told Miller to cease and desist all meat sales and sent armed... Now listen to this. This is unbelievable. This is supposed to be America. And sent armed U.S. Marshals to search his property, farm store, and freezers. They took an inventory of all his meat to make sure he doesn't sell any or slaughter any more animals. Last summer, the judge also ordered Miller to pay $250,000 for contempt of court and said he will also have to pay the salaries of the USDA investigators assigned to his case, $50,000 of which was due last week as a good faith payment to avoid jail. So what exactly was Miller's crime? Here's his crime, folks. Slaughtering and processing the meat he raises on his own farm and selling it fresh frozen to members of his private food buying club, who've all signed contracts stating that they understand the meat is not processed in USDA inspected plants, or treated with USDA required chemical preservatives because that's how they want it, and the very reason they're willing to go to such great lengths to get it. Melody, can you believe that's happened to a gentleman, an Amish farmer who's just trying to make a living, and they're actually driving him out of business. He may lose everything he had before this is over. Isn't this a sad statement for a country we used to call a free country?
It really is. And, you know, you wonder how many of these stories that we don't hear about.
Yes.
You know, things that go on and we just don't hear about. So it just doesn't happen to one person.
I mean, I'm just blessed that I can still get fresh produce from local farmers, you know, milk and eggs and butter. I'm glad I can still get that. I wonder how long it's going to last. I mean, this guy was not selling them to the public. He was selling them to a private club membership. I did. That's just unbelievable that we're picking on one Amish farmer who's just trying to do a good job to raise the meat the way it should be raised organically, the way God intended to be eaten and consumed, and they're coming after that guy. That's just so sad. Anything you want to report on that yourself?
No, I think it's pretty much.
That just breaks my heart. It does. I know some Amish farmers. I met them personally. Some of them, got to talk to them quite some length. And most of them are pretty good people. They are sincerely just trying to pay their bills and take care of the families the way they see fit. But we live in a country more that, I guess, pretty soon processing your own food will be against the law, Mel. I mean, if they can do that to a farmer who's got private memberships across country, how long before they can do it to you for raising food on your own property for consumption by your family? And goodness gracious, what if you give your neighbor a tomato? What would happen then?
Look out.
It's absurd. It's absurd. Absurd. And we all know, of course, Abbott is the governor of Texas, so he is doing something further with his migrant problem. And I think it's about time. I'm glad he's doing it. Abbott threatens to declare an invasion as migrant numbers climb. From a camouflage Humvee at the edge of the Rio Grande, a Texas National Guard soldier on the front lines of Governor Greg Abbott's campaign to secure America's southern border was watching a man with a crutch crossing the river from Mexico. Make his comment too, Billy. Abbott took money from other departments of the state and financed millions of dollars to the State Guard, National Guard, to guard the border. So he's sincere about this. Senor, are you there? The soldier called out as a man disappeared into a thicket of tiring reeds. No one responded. Down the river, four other soldiers stood by as a U.S. Border Patrol team detained dozens of newly arrived migrants in a pecan orchard. An agent with a crowd counter recorded 135 people, mostly men, but also families from Cuba, Peru, and Venezuela, who are seeking asylum in the United States. "This is it every day," said Hal Bowles, a Maverick County deputy constable who had been hired with new state funding to work on border security. "The governor is trying," he said, "but still, everybody is coming in. For the past year, Mr. Abbott has transformed an unceasing flow of migrants over the border into a potent political message, seizing the role of defending the country from unauthorized migration as he runs for a third term in November." Now, I didn't know this. Maybe in Texas, I guess there's no term limits for governor. Here in West Virginia, they have 2-term limits. Well, I guess it's not so in Texas. The aggressive posture has done little to stem the tide and also exposed him to fierce criticism that he is using his authority to meddle in a policy area that belongs to the federal government. Now, I'll make a comment here. If the federal government would do its duties, he would not have to meddle in this situation. The man is defending his state. Still, his efforts to tighten border security and harden Texas' 1,254-mile frontier have helped Mr. Abbott, a Republican, hold off challenges from his right and made the lawyerly governor into a regular on Fox News. Now Mr. Abbott is weighing whether to invoke actual war powers. Let me repeat that. Is weighing whether to invoke actual war powers to seize much broader state authority on the border. He could do so, advocates inside and outside the administration argue, by officially declaring an invasion to comply with the U.S. clause in the U.S. Constitution that says states cannot engage in war except when actually invaded. Top lawyers for Mr. Abbott and for the Texas Attorney General's Ken Paxton met this month to debate the move, which would put the state in a head-on collision with the federal government by allowing state police to arrest and deport migrants, according to two people familiar with the discussions. Mr. Abbott has said he remains open to the approach, but he's expressed concern about unintended consequences. Melody, the people at the border, and Texas seem to be the ones picking up. Arizona and California not saying much, you know, but Arizona, I mean Texas, is picking up, and he's threatening to move into a war mode to protect the people in Texas. That's what the governor's supposed to do, is it not? Isn't that his job? If the feds won't do their job, isn't the state supposed to have, according to Article 1, I mean to Article 10 of the Constitution, to protect itself? I understand that states have rights, according to Article 10. So in the state's rights and duty to protect their people, even supreme to what the feds are doing?
You would think, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of these states, though, I don't know what types of benefits also that they provide on us. And you would think that whatever is provided, that they would start there. So it'd be interesting to see what Texas has for these. Because usually, I mean, they will go to where they know it's going to be the most beneficial. Right?
Yeah, you would think so, but I wonder if they're crossing as heavily in Arizona and California as they are there.
If what?
If they're crossing as heavily into Arizona and California as they are in Texas.
Well, I think they're all getting their share. I mean, absolutely, Arizona.
So I would think that they would be doing the same thing that Abbott's doing and saying, listen, we don't want to do this, but we got to close the borders. And I'm all for him doing what he has to do. I mean, it's up to him, of course, to protect his people.
Well, I agree, but what else is there? What else can they do?
That's
Well, no, if they have benefits provided by the state.
That's what you mean. Okay.
Stop those benefits. Because the illegals go to where it benefits them, where they can get jobs, where they, you know, can get licenses, where they can get, you know, benefits, health insurance, and, you know, where they can get treat, you know, unless it's a federal ordinance and the state has nothing to, you know, go against it. So it would be interesting to see what these border states provide.
I hadn't actually thought
illegals.
About the state providing a whole lot. I assume that the Fed provided most of that. I may be wrong on that, but I hadn't really thought about that. That's a good point.
Or what corporations? And then you look at the state, how they provide to the corporations. Because when I lived in Missouri, there was a large, Tyson. I believe it was Tyson. And, I mean, they used to hold programs to help folks learn how to complete the, you know, all the paperwork for the benefits and so forth, so they can go work for Tyson. Tyson would advertise in Mexico and bring them across the border, just, you know, and say, when you get here, come up to us and we'll provide. So, but then you look at Tyson and you look at the benefits that they get from the state.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I hadn't considered that angle before. That's a good point. Yeah, they may have to cut off some of their benefits in. If they're doing it, they need to stop it. Yes, that's just incentive for them to come in. So what if they don't stop it, then they're just cutting their own throat both ways.
Yeah, so everything that they're saying is just rhetoric and doesn't mean anything. And it's an election year, and here we go.
That's a good point. But, you know, I'm just glad to see, though, the states are starting to speak up. And, I mean, really starting to get angry. It's about time. The federal government is not over the states. Constitutionally, folks, the federal government cannot make laws that affect the states at all. If you read Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17 of the Constitution, you'll find that Washington, D.C. can only make laws that pertain within 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. itself or on federal properties inside the states, like post offices and forts. That's the only place federal law is supposed to take effect. We don't know that, obviously, so we let all federal laws take over the whole state. That is not constitutional. The federal government cannot pass laws except what affects the federal territories. That's D.C. and territories within the states that are federal. Other than that, they have no authority. But we don't know that, so they have authority. Any comments on BLD?
No.
I mean, we don't know. If you don't know your rights, Melody, do you have any rights?
No.
That's it. That's the whole point. If you don't know what's coming to you, you know what's missing. We have time to think of this story, too. Lake Powell officials face an impossible choice in the West mega drought: water or electricity. Now, folks, this is CNN. Lake Powell, the country's second largest reservoir, is drying up. The situation is critical. If water levels at the lake were to drop another 32 feet, all hydroelectricity production will be halted at the reservoir's Glen Canyon Dam. The West, climate change-induced water crisis, is now triggering a potential energy crisis for millions of people in the Southwest who rely on the dam as a power source. Over the past several years, the Glen Canyon Dam has lost about 16% of its capacity to generate power. The water levels at Lake Powell have dropped around 100 feet in the last 3 years. Folks, let me read that first sentence of the paragraph again. The West climate change-induced water crisis. Man does mess with the weather. They've been doing it at least since the 1950s. In Vietnam and Thailand, when I was stationed there, they were messing with the weather. They were causing terrain on the Ho Chi Minh Trail more than it should, trying to stop the supposed flow of North Vietnam and Chinese supplies in North Vietnam. So we've been messing with weather, folks, for at least 70 years. And I'm sure much longer than that. Bob Martin, deputy power manager for the Glen Canyon Dam, pointed toward what's called the bathtub ring on the canyon walls. The mounds of white rock represent this region's problem. That's where the water has bleached out the rock, and that's how high the water was at one point. As water levels decline, so does hydropower production. The dam harnesses the gravitational force of the Colorado River. River's water power for as many as 5.8 million homes and businesses in seven states, including Nevada and New Mexico. Brian Hill runs a public power utility in Page, Arizona, where the federal dam is located, and likens situations to Judgment Day. We're knocking on the door of Judgment Day. Judgment Day being when we don't have any water to give anybody. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. Is it necessary? No, it is not necessary. This is all man-made weather, climate change. And if you ever get a chance, look up, go on your search engine, look up the word primary water. Primary water. You'll find there is no lack of water. There's plenty of water. In underground aquifers, there's plenty of water. Look it up for yourself. I'm making this stuff up. But they don't want you to know that. They definitely want to control you and what you can, if you have electricity or not. There'll be rolling blackouts maybe. Maybe water shut off in certain sections of areas for a while to water catch up in other areas. Folks, we are in for a rough ride. I just read to you a few minutes ago, they expect this food shortage to really increase within the next 6 months. Going into this fall, a lot of things could happen that we don't like. And we're going to discuss some more things happening we may not like in the very near future that, oh, God forbid, it could turn into nuclear war. But that's been talked about more and more every day. All right, Melody, you got about 30 seconds. What do you want to say?
Well, you know, a lot of that is, you know, who would ever thought that we'd be paying anywhere from $1 to $2 for a bottle of water?
I know.
And we don't even know how good that water is.
I agree.
They tell us it's good, but who would ever thought that we'd be paying for our water? But here we are. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And I don't know. There's so many crazy things going on there. And again, you know, you talked about the bird flu. They have locked, I mean, it's amazing, all the way from Pennsylvania to France. Have you ever seen Butch?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yep. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No.
Organic?
No. No, I haven't.
You got organic and free-range chickens. We're in lockdown. They're even locking down chickens. How about that?
Well, you know, and I just read today, too, that food processing will blow up and burn up all over the world, not just here. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yep. They're starting to have food fires and food processing plants in other countries. We've had at least 20 in this country. And the guy who wrote this says there's no evidence of a conspiracy to have this happen. I don't remember any time in the past about so many food processing plants in this country, much less around the world, all of a sudden catching on fire and burning the ground. Do you?
No, I don't think it's one that I would have thought of following either. But yeah, I mean, it's very bizarre.
Too much coincidence not to be all coincidence. Okay,
exactly.
too much of it happening. So maybe there's no proof of a conspiracy. But if you go by the odds, it's 100% for sure somebody's doing this, just by the odds alone.
Exactly.
But different topic now. Senator Rand Paul, and he knows what happened, says Biden pushed Putin into invading Ukraine by promoting NATO. And folks, for those of us
exactly.
having insight at all, can see that it's true. And Melly, this is absolutely right on, isn't it?
It absolutely is. We've been talking about it. Pat Buchanan, we've been talking about what Pat Buchanan's been saying, and it's exactly that. We pushed him in there because of NATO.
Yes, we did. And we broke our agreements with him for, the last 30 years or so by doing this?
Mm-hmm.
30, 40 years worth of agreements. We said we won't do it, and we did it. But Senator Rand Paul clashed with Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and blamed the Biden administration for supporting Ukraine's bid to join NATO, which pushed Putin to invade the country. Paul accused Blinken of agitating Putin after Russia had drawn a red line. Paul added that NATO membership could have meant U.S. soldiers fighting with Russia. Sergei Lavrov, Russia's top diplomat, claimed NATO was now fighting a proxy war with Russia and Ukraine and could bring a very serious risk. The conflict could go nuclear. He accused Western leaders of risking a third world war by supplying heavy weapons to Ukraine. Rand Paul said the U.S. was beating the drums for Ukraine's admission to NATO. At Tuesday's Senate hearing, he said the Biden administration ignored Russian red lines on the issue before Moscow's invasion. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said membership was up to Ukraine. Paul also pointed out that Russia had only attacked former Soviet nations, but that does not give Russia the right to attack them, said Blinken. Blinken's right on that point. But part of Ukraine, Melody, wanted to go back into Russia, and there'd been an 8-year war between eastern Ukraine and far eastern Ukraine, because the eastern section wanted to go back into Russia. And there'd been a war back and forth between those two segments for 8 years. Russia said it's enough is enough. And Ukraine wants to join NATO, so does Finland and Sweden now. This is why Russia went into Ukraine. And it's not looking pretty. I mean, I got more news in a minute to report here, but it's not looking very good. If something didn't let up soon, if somebody doesn't quit shoving here, and I got to put it back mostly in the U.S. and our allies, we keep on almost act like we want to agitate Russia, almost like we want to agitate Putin into doing more. Surely, I would like to think that anybody with any common sense would never want a third world war. Would you agree with that?
You would think so, but you know, I mean, the weapons are there to be used, and it's a line, as we talked about last week. It's a line that we really don't want to go over, but
we are crossing it.
We're pushing.
They want the world population down. They will cut off over 7 billion people out of the world. A nuclear war would do a lot of that, wouldn't it? But what will do to everything else, the animal life and everything else, folks? These people are insane. This is confirmed that U.S. and allies are preparing for Russian use of nuclear weapons. Now pay attention, folks. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland today publicly stated, if Moscow uses nuclear weapons, it will never recover from the consequences. She then went on to confirm, since the beginning of this conflict, we have already understood that the threats posed by Putin must be taken seriously. That's why the U.S. and our allies are preparing for this development. These astonishing remarks by the U.S. Undersecretary of State come just one day after the top TV news network in the Russian Federation, a network called Russia One, broadcast to the entire nation of Russia the map shown above. The map showed that a single Russian Sarmat, S-A-R-M-A-T, intercontinental ballistic missile. Now, folks, listen to this. This is phenomenal, and this has been shown on Russian TV of what they can do if they want to. It pushed into it. The map shows that a single Russian Sarmat intercontinental ballistic missile, when launched from Kaliningrad, would vaporize Berlin, Germany, in 106 seconds, Paris, France, in 200 seconds, and London, England, in 202 seconds after launch. All three cities will be hit from a single Russian Sarmat missile launch. One missile launched, Berlin, Paris, and London gone. Within seconds, from launch to impact, even the most distant city, London, would only have about 3.5 minutes of radar warning. Not even enough to time to ask the Prime Minister for permission to shoot back, and certainly not enough time to warn the general public even to take shelter. The population of those cities are as follows. Berlin, Germany, 3.645 million. Paris, France, 2.161 million. London, England, 8.928 million. Almost no one in these other cities would survive. Folks, think about that. The chart, and it goes on to share with some more news below that, but this is being talked about right now on Russian TV. Melody, what other reason would the nation's leaders have to show a map of the power they have to destroy three major cities in the UK, other than to warn the people this could happen?
I don't know. People, they're preparing, right?
Yes. And you heard our Undersecretary said the U.S. and the allies are preparing for the same thing.
And it's interesting to see how Pelosi went over there with her band of Democratic delegates, of whatever you want to call them, to visit Zelensky. I mean, there has to be a reason for that, too.
There's always a reason behind these things. And I'm quite seriously concerned. I mean, really concerned that we're on the verge of something that we don't even contemplate. Even if we don't go to nuclear war, Melody, and things keep increasing like you have been on the food supplies, the power supplies, and all that, what are we in for the next few months? I mean, I just told Marsh that day that we have some trouble food. We need to start stocking up some more, even some more canned goods. Canned goods the last several years kept dry and, you know, it's not going to draw humidity or whatever. We need to do that. It's just common sense. Now, this may be something that ties in this also. Putin to undergo cancer operation and hand power to hardline ex-spy chief, says Kremlin insider in shock claim. Vladimir Putin is set to undergo an operation for cancer and will hand over power to his hardline spy chief, a Kremlin insider has reportedly claimed. The Russian tyrant's health has been a source of considerable speculation amid reports that he is battling both abdominal cancer and Parkinson's disease. But now it has been reported that 69-year-old Putin could soon vanish as he goes under the knife with power transferred to Nikolai Parshushev. Shadowy Pashashev, 70 years old, is seen as a key architect of the Ukraine war strategy and the man who convinced Putin that Kiev was awash with neo-Nazis. The claim that reported on Russian media outlet General SVR, which first raised new issues of Putin's health around 18 months ago. They quote an anonymous former high-ranking Kremlin military figure saying, Putin has discussed that he will be undergoing medical procedures. That could play a part also. Any comments, Melody?
Do you think he's really sick?
I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't look at that way to me, but who knows what picture we've seen or knew or not. I have no idea. I don't know. But could this be another cover-up? Possibly. Who knows? But we're talking about World War III.
I know.
You know, we're not discussing. No. That's something that this is just hard to imagine. So I don't know what else we can add to those stories. That's about as clear as I can bring it. I mean, if the allies and U.S. are preparing for it, Russia's shown on their nationwide TV what they could do with one missile to three major cities in U.K. I think it's time to take it seriously. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we should. And I'll tell you, it's like, you know, half of you think they're not going to go there. They're not going to do this. But, hey, we did it. We knew the consequences when we did it. We knew what was going to happen. We know the destruction. We knew it exactly. So why wouldn't Putin do it? I mean, he's fighting for something, you know, that... whether he was pushed into it or not, you know, I think he was with the NATO and everything. And we're just do we just continue to do things that pushing him into the corner.
And the general public in America actually thinks that Russia is to blame. I mean, that's all they hear news all day long. And they interview people that live in the Ukraine who've been bombed out. Well, that could be very well true. Maybe we're bombed out. But who started this confrontation? I mean, we have been lied into every war for the last 200 years. We've been led into it with Vietnam, World War II, World War I. We have facts, Melody, that backs this up. We have been led into the wars by our leaders.
Yes.
With make-believe attacks or for real attack in Pearl Harbor that Roosevelt knew about at least 2 months before it happened. He knew it was coming, but he didn't say anything because he wanted to take U.S. to the war, and he promised when he ran for office he would not get in the war. But he had to get their mind changed. So we knew Pearl Harbor was coming. We actually badgered Japan into doing that. And folks, I can prove all this. I wouldn't say it. And we know Vietnam was made up by Johnson. I lost friends, Melody, in Vietnam. I lost people went to friends with school with who didn't make it even to get married and raise families. They were killed in a war that was nothing but a made up war, and the U.S. did it. I don't understand why. How can we as a nation keep on being so easily deceived into more and more evil? Why don't we see these things? And why are people so complacent about their futures and their children's futures? I don't understand it. I just can't. I know because I've been blessed to learn a few more things because I want to know the truth. But it's getting to the point now that you almost have to almost want to not see it, don't you?
It's very true. And just think, you know, there's signs. There was reports today about China preparing to invade Taiwan.
Yes.
They held an emergency meeting with regulators in anticipation of sanctions. Banking officials from HSBC and other international lenders were there. The West is said to be considering sanctions in the event China invades Taiwan. Trust me, it'll be more than sanctions if China invades Taiwan. And they have stepped up, China has stepped up their military activity in the region. And the U.S. holds high-level talks with its allies, including the U.K., over the possibility of a Chinese invasion. So that's getting more and more steam and consideration. And it's, and if that happens, there will be a nuclear war, for sure.
Well, that will not be a good thing for anybody.
No.
And I think especially the U.S. If China and Russia both come against the U.S., we'll be toast in a little bit of no time.
Yep.
We just want to face that fact. We're no longer the big kid on the block anymore.
Absolutely. And it's just like, no, I don't want this. And you know what? As much as we talk about the inflation that we're facing, as much as we talk about the economy collapsing, it's like we don't want it. You know, I wanted them to fix it so we don't go there, but there's very little hope. Only if you protect yourself. I hear the music. We're out of time, Butch. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
A single penny left for me. That's too bad.